All right. Well, thank you for having us. Like Ryan said, my name is Peter. This is my lovely wife, Eleanor. We've been married a little over 10 years now, and about 6 years ago, we were sitting in this very room, and this was one of the best decisions we ever made in our marriage. So I'm glad that there are so many of you here. With that, we'll get started. Eleanor and I were born and raised in Dallas and met in ninth grade when we began attending the same school. We immediately became friends and stayed friends throughout our high school years. We were actually boyfriend and girlfriend for 2 weeks in ninth grade. Seen as the first time we talked on the phone was when Eleanor called to break up with me. It was clearly a very serious relationship. We both grew up going to church regularly. We both accepted Christ as our Savior at an early age. Young Life was a big part of our early walks with the Lord, and our Young Life leaders showed and taught us what a real relationship with Christ looked like. And going to Young Life camp during high school and then volunteering at various Young Life camps during college were some of the most impactful moments of our life. Oh, sorry. And it greatly deepened our relationships with the Lord.
Although Peter and I were at separate colleges, we began dating our junior year. After lots of ups and downs and moving back to Dallas, we got married 4 years later on May 2nd, 2009. The plan was to get married outside at the Arboretum, but instead Dallas had the biggest storm it had seen in years, and we ended up getting married inside on the dance floor. We found out afterwards that our wedding coordinator was seconds away from taking all the guests down to the basement due to a tornado warning, and the Cowboys practice facility had blown over that evening because the storm was so severe. It was crazy and chaotic and didn't go as planned, but I remember feeling completely at peace before the wedding began. We were just so happy to be getting married.
So we both have pretty few memories of the first few years of our marriage. We'll get to the why later. But we now think the Lord has blessed us with a fresh start, even with our memories. Some things we do know that we had no idea how to effectively communicate with each other, and that we didn't know what putting Jesus first really meant. We later found out and reengaged that Eleanor was an escalator and I was a withdrawer. She came from a family that talked about everything, a family that would hash it out and maybe even use harsh words with each other and then go back to normal the very next minute. I came from a family that didn't communicate a whole lot about serious things. I'm one of three boys, and as guys tend to be, we just kept pretty quiet about the things that we were feeling, and especially the negative feelings. Over time, I learned that people would like me, and I could avoid conflict if I just put on my easygoing self and not admit to any bad feelings. I also never really saw my parents argue. Although I'm sure this was done out of love, it created expectations for me and Eleanor that were unrealistic. Any argument we had felt really huge and led me to believe that I was a failure. And Eleanor couldn't understand why it was such a big deal to me when she unloaded all of her negative feelings. When I withdrew, she became more upset, and the more upset she became, the more I withdrew. It was a vicious cycle that we were not equipped to get out of.
Soon after we got married, Peter and I joined a foundation group at Watermark. We really desired to be known, to be held accountable, and to learn how to pursue Christ together as husband and wife. At the time, I prided myself on being open and honest, but looking back, I was really only sharing the struggles that were bad, but not that bad. I hid feelings and behaviors in order to give people, including my foundation group, the picture of me that I wanted them to see. Peter continued on his normal path of hiding hard emotions and acting for the most part like everything was okay. Surprisingly, as it turns out, this did not go well for us. As things got harder between us, I started doing whatever I could to stop feeling hurt. What Peter couldn't do for me, I decided I would do myself. I resented him and prided myself on being the one who did everything. I forced myself in an unhealthy way to become so productive and self-sufficient that I no longer needed Peter, and that felt good. I realized now that I was idolizing him and wanted him to fill me instead of Jesus. When that obviously didn't work, I felt hurt and fearful and questioned Peter's love for me. Looking back, I didn't let the Lord into this. I was more confident in my abilities to fix things than in his.
In spring of 2012, after we'd been married 3 years, we made the obviously wise decision after all this that we should have a baby. A lot of our friends were trying and having fertility problems, so we thought we should get started. Really, Eleanor thought this, and I was too afraid to tell her that I wasn't ready for a baby, and that actually I was questioning our marriage and even my faith. My fear of disappointing people, especially Eleanor, was powerful and overwhelming. So much so that it allowed us to begin trying to have a baby, even when I knew that was the last thing we needed to do. We got pregnant after trying for just 1 month, and I was terrified to say the least. But just as I always had, I put on my happy face and pretended to be whatever emotion I was supposed to be. I smiled and acted the part, but deep down I was hurting, completely lost, and afraid. Unwilling to really open up about it, this led to a progressively deeper place of isolation. In October of 2012, when Eleanor was near the middle of her pregnancy, I made a choice that would change our lives forever. I exchanged numbers with a girl in a bar that was giving me the attention and easy affection that my flesh had been craving. This eventually spiraled into an affair that destroyed me for months. I was hiding the biggest, darkest secret from every single person in my life. My wife was pregnant with our first child, and I was having an affair. I became extremely depressed, but was still somehow able to hide my sin.
Our sweet son Walker was born on February 8th, 2013. When he was almost 8 weeks old, Peter finally mustered up the courage to start sharing some of his feelings with me. As we sat on the couches in our living room, me holding Walker in my arms, Peter told me that he didn't think he loved me anymore. He said he didn't know what he wanted, but alluded to divorce without saying the word. I was crushed. I sobbed and held Walker tightly, feeling guilty that I had brought him into this mess. I now see God's immense grace in giving us this sweet, precious baby when he did. Being his mom kept me going when things were unbearable. He gave me joy that over and over again reminded me of God's love for me when I felt anything but loved. And as for Peter, Walker's life eventually gave him the motivation he needed to turn back to the Lord and beg for his heart to be broken. We never want to forget what a perfect, undeserved gift Walker was from the Lord.
So a couple of weeks after this conversation, knowing that I had only revealed a small part of the truth, I was at the end of my rope, completely immersed in guilt from my sin. Eleanor was exhausted and overwhelmed with not only having a newborn, but with having a husband that was completely detached and depressed. By the grace of God, one of my best friends finally asked me point blank if I was having an affair, and I straight up confessed. He told me that it was time to talk to Eleanor that night, that there was no other option. Ironically, we had planned to attend Reengage for the first time that evening. When I got home, Walker was in his car seat, and Eleanor was dressed and ready to go. I told her we probably shouldn't go to Reengage because we needed to talk. After revealing the affair to her, she asked a few questions and then said, "Well, now we really need to go to Reengage." So get in the car. I didn't want to go, but I was shocked at her response to my sin, and I said, "Okay." That first night at Reengage, when given the opportunity to rate our marriages, I gave us a 2 while Eleanor gave us a -4. Needless to say, we are in a very, very terrible place. Although at this point I had revealed my sin to Eleanor, my community group, and my close friends, my heart had not been broken. I was angry that I had to end my relationship and that this false sense of happiness had been taken away from me. I was also still wrestling with God about why he would want me to be so unhappy, and honestly about whether or not I actually believed in him. Looking back, I know this was because I felt unforgivable. I thought there was no way that God could still love me after what I had done, so I turned away from him. I was so hopeless that I had thoughts of ending my life. Even at my worst, though, Eleanor didn't give up on me and encouraged me to give our marriage a chance. I wasn't necessarily interested in that, but in order to appease everyone in my life, I kept going. At one point, in the middle of all the hurt and anger that I was directing Eleanor's way, she put a sticky note on my mirror that said, "I'll never stop loving you." She even went as far to put together and give to me a binder of old pictures and notes that we had written to each other over the years in an effort to remind me that our love was real. Honestly, these gestures kind of bugged me, but she was consistent and unwavering, and eventually that unconditional love became clear to me and was a big part of what led me back to her. In addition to Eleanor's gestures, there were 2 instances that I will never forget where God revealed himself to me. The first was a morning where I went to talk with a mentor, an old family friend who happened to work at our church. He had me read Psalm 51 out loud, where David cries out to God, confessing an affair he had with Bathsheba. I was crying so hard that I could hardly read the words. The Lord used this morning to begin softening my heart and to remind me of his presence. He was still there, and he still loved me even at my worst. The second instance was a meeting we had at our house with our community group. Eleanor had left the room pretty soon after the meeting began because the things I was saying were so hurtful. She sat in another room and begged the Lord to break my heart. I later found out that multiple other people from my life were praying that exact same prayer at that very same moment. The night ended with my community group sitting with me while I sobbed for over a half an hour. No one said anything. We all just sat there together as the Lord began to break my heart and started bringing me back to him. This was the beginning of a long, hard journey of recovery for our family.
The Lord was so good to us in giving us tools to help us move forward. Re-engage, counseling, and close friends were crucial in our healing. The change that occurred in Peter as he began to trust the Lord again and rely on him was honestly shocking to me. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." Because of this, he was able to be completely open with me in really hard ways and love me consistently despite the emotional mess I had become in the months after the affair. He pointed me towards the Lord on a regular basis and constantly reassured me that he wasn't going anywhere. All of a sudden, the roles had reversed and I didn't have to be the strong one anymore. I could be messy and figure things out between me and the Lord without feeling like I had to take care of Peter as well. God showed me over and over again that I can trust him and that it's through intimacy with him alone that true joy and satisfaction is found. I realized that Peter was never going to live up to the expectations that I had always had for him and that that was okay. He let me down in the biggest way that I could ever have imagined, and it didn't ruin me. It actually strengthened me and was beginning to transform our marriage. I was fascinated that the Lord could turn such pain and what should have been destruction into such purpose.
Our marriage now looks completely different than it did in the beginning. Through counseling and reengage, I've learned how important it is for me to share my feelings with Eleanor, even really hard ones that make me anxious. The Lord has used this honesty to grow us closer together and trust each other so much more. The way Eleanor responded to me after coming clean about the affair was a perfect picture of the forgiveness and grace the Lord offers. It is such a blessing to no longer be afraid of being known. The way we communicate has changed so much as well. We trust each other's hearts and intentions so much that there's really no need to escalate or withdraw. And when we slip back into the old habits, we are much quicker to recognize it and ask the other for forgiveness. We are on the same team now. We don't hide things from each other, and we truly believe the other wants the best for us. We also aim to be completely open with our community group about all of our sins and struggles, knowing that hiding things only leads to more sin and pain. All of this isn't to say we don't still struggle. We absolutely do. I still struggle with people-pleasing and finding my identity in the world, and Eleanor struggles with depression and has battled with an eating disorder that relapsed shortly after the affair. But the difference now is how we respond to our struggles. It has been such a blessing to me to be able to support and love Eleanor through recovery from her eating disorder. 5 years ago, we made the decision for Eleanor to go to treatment in Denver for 7 weeks. And I was again reminded what complete trust and reliance on the Lord looks like. And on top of that, the Lord had used that time to renew my confidence as a husband and a dad. For such a hard season, it was really awesome to see what the Lord did in both of our lives during that time.
1 Samuel 12:24 says, "But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you." We long for this verse to be the heart of our family. Over the past few years, we've had the privilege of serving in Merge, Watermark's premarital ministry, and have been able to see the fruit of being open about our struggles and our desperate need for Christ with the couples in our group. Seeing Peter unashamedly share our story makes me love and respect him even more. In August of 2016, our daughter Mary Lou was born. For years, my heart longed for another baby, but after the affair and then with my eating disorder, we honestly weren't sure whether or when having another baby was wise. It took some time, but we eventually got to a place where we knew we were ready to add to our family. Just as Walker is a picture of God's grace and love for us, Mary Lou is a reminder of God's redemption and his power to overcome anything. And another reminder of how good the Lord has been to us, our third child, Clark, just turned 1 a couple of weeks ago. Good boy. To be honest, though, this has been a very tough year. We always heard that third babies typically fit right in and go with the flow, but that just has not been the case with sweet little Clark. He's been hard since the beginning, and we've pretty much been exhausted and overwhelmed for most of the year. We probably look tired right now. As I've been able to reflect recently, though, it's amazing for me to see how well Peter and I have worked together and been able to love each other well through this time. It hasn't been perfect, and there have been arguments or moments of anger, of course, but I've noticed that it really feels like God has made us perfectly for each other as we parent our kids. 10 years ago, as newlyweds, we hardly knew each other or anything about what life would be like, but by God's grace, we've chosen time after time to stay with each other through the very hard seasons, and I can see that because of that, he's grown us so much closer and made us more right for each other than we ever could have imagined. We've learned to not sweat the small stuff, to communicate despite desperately not wanting to at times or being way too tired to, and to continue searching for ways to love each other in better and different ways as the years go on. Try to trust us when we say that it's worth it to get through the extremely hard seasons. He absolutely can turn a completely messy disaster into something beautiful and can redeem what seems unredeemable. Give him a chance to show you what he can do. He will surprise you with his goodness if you let him, and he absolutely has in our marriage.
Just to close, we hope that if you take anything from what we've said tonight, it would be that God loves you so much. He is always there, even when you might feel that you're all alone. He desires relationship with you and can give you the strength you need even in the toughest times. And like Eleanor said, God absolutely can redeem your marriage if you let him, and we pray that you will. Thanks so much for listening to our story.
Thank you.